Time once again for a wine chat with our friend from Haskell's, Jack Farrell. Good morning, Jack.
Hi, Denny. How are you this morning?
Well, I'm feeling very positive because I'm looking at that forecast, and it looks like we're coming up to a nice warm-up.
For a change.
Yeah. We'll
still pretty nippy. I thought I would extend what we talked about last week. We talked about Chateauneuf du Pape's and talk about the whole Rhone Valley. I liken that to the bargain basket of France for wines. The Rhone Valley, I don't know an area in all of France, in fact, maybe of France, for wines. The entire world, where so much good wine is produced at such a good price. I mean, it's really remarkable. Today, if you're looking for a simple Cote de Rhone, you're really hard-pressed to spend over $20 a bottle on it, and you get some very good bottles of wine for $10 to $12. And that it into itself is just an accomplishment. You know, we talked about the Rhone Valley a little bit last week because we talked about Chateauneuf du Pape, which is the best known of all the southern Rhones. And in fact, the Rhone Valley was very popular in Roman times, kind of fell out of popularity about 600 A.D., got popular again when the popes moved to Avignon, which is in the Rhone Valley, in the early 1400s, and they stayed there almost 100 years, so that popularized the place. Then the French kings began an interest in the Rhone Valley, so they were off to being wine-producing areas, so they've been a big wine-producing area since the 1400s, in spite of that hiatus for about 400 years where they just produced local wines after the Roman conquest. But the wines from there are really remarkable. The principal grape type of the northern Rhone is the Syrah. Now, we all know about that because Australia is very big on Syrah. And no matter how you pronounce it, Syrah, Shiraz, whatever, it's sort of interesting because up until recently, they speculated in the Rhone Valley that the Syrah came from the Persian city of Syrah, or maybe the Sicilian city of Syracuse, or it was named after the Persian king Cyrus. But anyhow, today, with DNA and all that wonderful technology that they have, they've established that the home base of the Syrah grape is 100% the Rhone Valley. And that the other grape, red grape type that's very popular is their Grenache, and that is an imported grape type. It came from Spain. And that, as I mentioned, Syrah is very popular in the northern part. Grenache is popular in the southern part. In fact, in the northern Rhone, Syrah is the heart of Hermitage, which is an area in the Rhone Valley that produces some of the longest-lived wines in the entire world. Hermitage is a big, powerful wine, and it's fun to visit that area. In fact, it's fun to go to the Rhone Valley because they have about, I think it's 22 or 24 Michelin-starred restaurants around the valley. You'll never go for a bad meal if you go into the Rhone Valley. There's just too many good restaurants there, and they kind of overflow. Even the little cafes are pretty good. But that Hermitage is a great wine, and at the turn of the last century, in the Victorian era, about 1900, the most popular wine in England, and for that matter, the English-speaking world, was something called Lafite Hermitage, where they took Chateau Lafite Rothschild, which is a very big, bold, wonderful wine from Bordeaux, and they added Hermitage to it. And the Hermitage gave it its longevity and gave it some spine, and it kind of increased when Bordeaux would have a shortcoming and the wines would be a little light. Dumping that Hermitage in would enhance it, and they were off to the races. Lest you be critical of the Bordelais for doing that, the Burgundians did it too, and for years and years and years, the best wine of Burgundy, Domaine Romani Conti, they always said they were sure they added a little Hermitage to the cépage, the mixture of the grapes. I don't know whether I believe that. They may have done it hundreds of years ago or a long time ago. They certainly don't do that any longer. But Syrah is a big, powerful grape type. And if you get a bottle of Hermitage, bear in mind, you know, it's about ready to drink when it's 20 years old. You can drink it younger than that, but it really shows age beautifully. And you can take that Hermitage and tuck it away for a decade or two decades, and be sure when you open up, as long as it's stored in a dark, cool spot, the wine will give you much, much pleasure. But today we're going to talk about what I call the breadbasket of wines in France, and that's Southern Rhone. Southern Rhones are, as we talked last week, the most popular is Chateauneuf-du-Pape. But the little Côte de Rhones that come from this area are just remarkable. They're such great values. They're delicious wine. Whether we're talking about whites or rosé, the whites are delicious. The rosés are thirst-quenching. And it shows the unusual variety of the Grenache grape, because most of them are Grenache type, and they produce a lot of wine in the Rhone Valley. There's over 5,000 different growers in the valley, and they produce millions of hectoliters of wine. And whether your favorite is Vacaras or Chigandas, which are also the wines in that area, or there's Muscat de Benice, de Baume de Benice, and that Muscat, I have an interesting story. I was in the Rhone Valley maybe 20 years ago, a long time ago, that's for sure. And we were visiting our good friends at Chapoutier, and after our tasting, we decided to go to lunch at Le Bic. And Le Bic, it was a 3-star restaurant. In fact, it's still there, and it still has, I know it has a 2 stars. I don't know if it still has 3. But anyhow, Bic is a wonderful restaurant, thought of by food connoisseurs the world over as a fabulous place. Incidentally, talking about fabulous places, almost everybody has heard of Paul Bocuse. His restaurant was in the Rhone Valley as well. But anyhow, I digress. We were talking about Chapoutier, and Max Chapoutier took us to lunch at Le Bic. And we had a wonderful lunch and lots of wine. There were, I think, 3 of us or 4 of us for lunch. And we decided to go back to the cellars at Chapoutier. And he was feeling a little tipsy, as we all were, and he decided to go into his great-grandfather's stash, and we opened a bottle of 1895 Baume de Venise, and they only had 2 bottles. And as I heard later on, he caught hell for opening that bottle of wine and sharing it with anybody. It was there, you know, to be odd not to be shared with just some customers that popped in. And he's not there anymore. His brother Mike Chapoutier runs the operation. But they said he got canned because he opened that bottle. I hope not. Even after the decades that have passed since then, I feel a little guilty that we drank that. It wasn't our suggestion, that's for sure. But it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. That Baume de Venise is a sweet wine. It's made in the Southern Rhone Valley. There isn't a lot of it made. It's hard to find. But if you find it, it's worth trying. And again, like the Hermitage, it'll take bottle age beautifully for a long period of time. But the Côte de Rhones that we're talking about today are the ones that are inexpensive. You know, a good everyday drinking little wine. And some of them not so little. Most of the reds are based on Grenache, sometimes Syrah. And the standards of Côte de Rhones are up and down all over the Rhone Valley. But like I say, it's very hard, in my opinion, to find, even the co-ops are pretty good down there. Naturally, some are better than others, as is true everywhere. When you're talking about an area that has almost 100,000 acres of wine, you're talking about a lot of wine to be sold around the world. And if your wine merchant knows who to buy it from, they're going to get pretty good wines for the money. And that's what it is, in my opinion. It's a great wine for the money. I happened to have a bottle of Côte de Rhone last night with homemade French onion soup. And it was absolutely a marriage made in heaven. that hot soup with bubbling cheese on the top. And when I make that, I usually use Jarlsberg instead of the French cheese Gruyere, because I think it is a nuttier flavor and it's delicious. But anyhow, the melted Jarlsberg cheese on top of that homemade onion soup has such a rich, oniony flavor. It's just terrific. The recipe I use comes from La Halle. La Halle is the old market in Paris. And what they used to do, you know, the market opened at 4 o'clock in the morning. By 6 o'clock, most of the people were kind of hungry, but it was cold and damp. There was no such thing as central heat. And anyhow, they all wanted something to warm them up, so people would come down and open stands where they would sell this French onion soup. You know, they're all relatively poor, and onions usually are available. Anyhow, I got my recipe from an old friend who claims he got it at La Halle, and I must say it's still pretty good for French onion soup. But anyhow, that onion soup with that little Côte du Rhône was absolutely delicious. And like I said about the Côte du Rhônes, you know, they have rosé and white, and they're all relatively modestly priced. It's just amazing. The variety is terrific. I mean, you can, in my opinion, you could drink nothing but Rhone wines for the rest of your life and have a different wine every two or three times a week from the Rhone Valley and probably not hit them all. There's just so many producers. And like I said, most of them are pretty good. There are a lot of regulations in the Rhone Valley, which is another assurance that the wine is going to be terrific. The wine has to have a minimum of 11% alcohol, and that ensures its strength as a little drinkable wine. And the whites are very good, too. They're harder to find, and rosé is also kind of hard to find. But if you find them, and of course at Haskell's we have a lot of them, but they're really a bargain, as I said, for a white or a rosé. Usually the rosés from the Rhone a little bigger and more earthy than the wines from Provence, which is this next-door neighbor. And the rosés of Provence, of course, have long been standard, but some of these rosés of the Côte du Rhône are really delicious and, like I said, undiscovered gems, if you would. You know, with the opportunities to go to different wine-producing areas around the world, everybody can go, you know, the Napa Valley, Sonoma, our two here, also Willamette Valley up in Oregon. And you can visit wineries right here in Minnesota. I think there's six or seven of them that are open to the public at all times. But if you get to go to the Rhone Valley, it has a preponderance of great restaurants, which a lot of wine areas have good restaurants in there, but great not. And I can think of three: Beaumont, La Pyramid, and Le Pic, that have 3 stars. And that's a lot of 3-star restaurants in a small area. And sometimes it's better, in my opinion, to go to the 2-star ones. They're striving to get the 3-star, the 3rd star, which is the highest ranking you can get from Michelin, is 3 stars. And they're struggling, and usually a 2 or 1 star gives you a better deal for the money, etc. But 3 stars, once they're there, are really a cathedral of wine. And if you're looking for good names, look no further than our friends Chapoutier, Jaboulet, Perrin, Gigal, Reyes, Chave. All those are big producers of these Côte du Rhônes, and they have Côte du Rhônes that are, as I said, at extremely favorable prices. So if you're looking for a little wine to have to take the chill off tonight, look no further than the Côte du Rhône, and one of these little wines is bound and determined to please you, that's for sure. And as a matter of fact, at Haskell's today, we're going to taste 4 or 5 Côte du Rhônes at each store between 1 and 4 o'clock.
Well, that sounds fantastic, and there are a lot of stores to choose from, and Haskell's been around a long time. Jack, tell us some locations.
Yes, Haskell's has been around for 85 years, and it's no wonder we're called the wine people. When the rest of the country was drinking gin fizzes, Fritzy Haskell had people drinking wine. So we know what we're doing when we talk about wine. And all you have to do is go into Haskell's, tell them what you're going to serve, give them a budget, and they'll pick a wine that'll please you and your pocketbook. There's a Haskell's near you where you can save big dollars on wine. Haskell's in Bloomington. There's a Haskell's in Excelsior, in Faribault, right off of 35W. Our super cellar in Maple Grove is a place to visit. 22,000 square feet of wines from around the world. In Minneapolis, we have free parking on Saturday and Sunday. There's a Haskell's at Ridgedale, Plymouth, St. Paul's, Island Village, Stillwater, White Bear Lake, and Woodbury, too. And if you can't come into Haskell's, go to Haskell's.com. And don't forget, at Haskell's, we do deliver.
Excellent, Jack. Let's meet up again next week.
You know, Denny, I'm going to look forward to that.
That's Jack Farrell from Haskell's. Time once again for a wine chat with our friend from Haskell's, Jack Farrell. Good morning, Jack.
Hi, Denny. How are you this morning?
Well, I'm feeling very positive because I'm looking at that forecast, and it looks like we're coming up to a nice warm-up.
For a change.
Yeah, we'll
still
take it.
Pretty nippy. I thought I would extend what we talked about last week. We talked about Chateauneuf du Pape and talk about the whole Rhone Valley. I liken that to the bargain basket of France. For wines. The Rhone Valley, I don't know an area in all of France, in fact, maybe of France, for wines. The entire world, where so much good wine is produced at such a good price. I mean, it's really remarkable. Today, if you're looking for a simple Cote de Rhone, you're really hard-pressed to spend over $20 a bottle on it, and you get some very good bottles of wine for $10 to $12. And that in itself is just an accomplishment. You know, we talked about the Rhone Valley a little bit last week because we talked about Chateauneuf du Pape, which is the best known of all the southern Rhones. And In fact, the Rhone Valley was very popular in Roman times, kind of fell out of popularity about 600 A.D., got popular again when the popes moved to Avignon, which is in the Rhone Valley, in the early 1400s, and they stayed there almost 100 years, so that popularized the place. Then the French kings began an interest in the Rhone Valley, so they were off to being wine-producing areas. So they've been a big wine-producing area since the 1400s, in spite of that hiatus for about 400 years where they just produced local wines after the Roman conquest. But the wines from there are really remarkable. The principal grape type of the northern Rhone is the Syrah. Now, we all know about that because Australia is very big on Syrah. And no matter how you pronounce it, Syrah, Shiraz, whatever, it's sort of interesting because up until recently, they speculated in the Rhone Valley that the Syrah came from the Persian city of Syrah, or maybe the Sicilian city of Syracuse, or it was named after the Persian king Cyrus. But anyhow, today with DNA and all that wonderful technology that they have, they've established that the home base of the Syrah grape is 100% the Rhone Valley. And that the other grape, red grape type that's very popular is their Grenache, and that is an imported grape type. It came from Spain. And that, as I mentioned, Syrah is very popular in the northern part. Grenache is popular in the southern part. In fact, in the northern Rhone, Syrah is the heart of Hermitage, which is an area in the Rhone Valley that produces some of the longest-lived wines in the entire world. Hermitage is a big, powerful wine, and it's fun to visit that area. In fact, it's fun to go to the Rhone Valley because they have about, I think it's 22 or 24 Michelin-starred restaurants around the valley. You'll never go for a bad meal if you go into the Rhone Valley. There's just too many good restaurants there, and they kind of overflow. Even the little cafes are pretty good. But that Hermitage is a great wine, and at the turn of the last century, in the Victorian era, about 1900, the most popular wine in England, and for that matter, the English-speaking world, was something called Lafitte Hermitage, where they took Chateau Lafitte Rothschild, which is a very big, bold, wonderful wine from Bordeaux, and they added Hermitage to it. And the Hermitage gave it its longevity and gave it some spine, and a kind of increased when Bordeaux would have a shortcoming and the wines would be a little light, dumping that Hermitage in would enhance it, and they were off to the races. Lest you be critical of the Bordelais for doing that, the Burgundians did it too, and for years and years and years, the best wine of Burgundy, Domaine Romani Conti, they always said they were sure they added a little Hermitage to the cépage, the mixture of the grapes. I don't know whether I believe that. They may have done it hundreds of years ago or a long time ago. They certainly don't do that any longer. But Syrah is a big, powerful grape type. And if you get a bottle of Hermitage, bear in mind that, you know, it's about ready to drink when it's 20 years old. You can drink it younger than that, but it really shows age beautifully. And you can take that Hermitage and tuck it away for a decade or two decades, and be sure when you open up, as long as it's stored in a dark, cool spot, the wine will give you much, much pleasure. But today we're going to talk about what I call the breadbasket of wines in France, and that's Southern Rhone. Southern Rhones are, as we talked last week, the most popular is Chateauneuf-du-Pape. But the little Côte de Rhones that come from this area are just remarkable. They're such great values. They're delicious wine. Whether we're talking about whites or rosé, the whites are delicious. The rosés are thirst-quenching. And it shows the unusual variety of the Grenache grape, because most of them are Grenache type, and they produce a lot of wine in the Rhone Valley. There's over 5,000 different growers in the valley, and they produce millions of hectoliters of wine. And whether your favorite is Vacaras or Chigandas, which are also the wines in that area, or there's Muscat de Venise, the Baume de Venise. And that Muscat, I have an interesting story. I was in the Rhone Valley maybe 20 years ago, a long time ago, that's for sure. And we were visiting our good friends at Chapoutier, and after our tasting, we decided to go to lunch at Le Bic. And Le Bic, it was a 3-star restaurant. In fact, it's still there, and it still has, I know it has a 2 stars. I don't know if it still has 3. But anyhow, Bic is a wonderful restaurant, thought of by food connoisseurs the world over as a fabulous place. Incidentally, talking about fabulous places, almost everybody has heard of Paul Bocuse. His restaurant was in the Rhone Valley as well. But anyhow, I digress. We were talking about Chapoutier, and Max Chapoutier took us to lunch at Le Bic. And we had a wonderful lunch and lots of wine. There were, I think, 3 or 4 of us for lunch. And we decided to go back to the cellars at Chapoutier, and he was feeling a little tipsy, as we all were, and he decided to go into his great-grandfather's stash, and we opened a bottle of 1895 Baume de Venise, and they only had 2 bottles. And as I heard later on, he caught hell for opening that bottle of wine and sharing it with anybody. It was there, you know, to be odd not to be shared with just some customers that popped in. And he's not there anymore. His brother Mike Chapoutier runs the operation. But they said he got canned because he opened that bottle. I hope not. Even after the decades that have passed since then, I feel a little guilty that we drank that. It wasn't our suggestion, that's for sure. But it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. That Baume de Venise is a sweet wine. It's made in the Southern Rhone Valley. There isn't a lot of it made. It's hard to find. But if you find it, it's worth trying. And again, like the Hermitage, it'll take bottle age beautifully for a long period of time. But the Côte de Rhones that we're talking about today are the ones that are inexpensive. You know, a good everyday drinking little wine. And some of them not so little. Most of the reds are based on Grenache, sometimes Syrah. And the standards of Côte du Rhône are up and down all over the Rhône Valley. But like I say, it's very hard, in my opinion, to find, even the co-ops are pretty good down there. Naturally, some are better than others, as is true everywhere. When you're talking about an area that has almost 100,000 acres of wine, you're talking about a lot of wine to be sold around the world. And if your wine merchant knows who to buy it from, they're going to get pretty good wines for the money. And that's what it is, in my opinion. It's a great wine for the money. I happened to have a bottle of Côte du Rhône last night with homemade French onion soup, and it was absolutely a marriage made in heaven. That hot soup with bubbling cheese on the top, and when I make it, I usually use Jarlsberg instead of the French cheese Gruyere, because I think it is a nuttier flavor and it's delicious. But anyhow, the melted Jarlsberg cheese on top of that homemade onion soup has such a rich, oniony flavor. It's just terrific. The recipe I use comes from La Halle. La Halle is the old market in Paris. And what they used to do, you know, the market opened at 4 o'clock in the morning. By 6 o'clock, most of the people were kind of hungry, but it was cold and damp. There was no such thing as central heat. And anyhow, they all wanted something to warm them up, so the people would come down and open stands where they would sell this French onion soup. You know, they're all relatively poor, and onions usually are available. Anyhow, I got my recipe from an old friend who claims he got it at La Halle, and I must say it's still pretty good for French onion soup. But anyhow, that onion soup with that little Côte du Rhône was absolutely delicious. And like I said about the Côte du Rhône, you know, they have rosé and white, and they're all relatively modestly priced. It's just amazing. The variety is terrific. I mean, you can, in my opinion, you could drink nothing but Rhone wines for the rest of your life and have a different wine every two or three times a week from the Rhone Valley and probably not hit them all. There's just so many producers. And like I said, most of them are pretty good. There are a lot of regulations in the Rhone Valley, which is another assurance that the wine is going to be terrific. The wine has to have a minimum of 11% alcohol, and that ensures its strength as a little drinkable wine. And the whites are very good, too. They're harder to find, and rosé is also kind of hard to find. But if you find them, and of course at Haskell's we have a lot of them, but they're really a bargain, as I said, for a white or a rosé. Usually the rosés from the Rhone a little bigger and more earthy than the wines from Provence, which is this next-door neighbor. And the rosés of Provence, of course, have long been standard, but some of these rosés of the Côte du Rhône are really delicious and, like I said, undiscovered gems, if you would. You know, with the opportunities to go to different wine producing areas around the world, everybody can go, you know, the Napa Valley, Sonoma, our two here, also Willamette Valley up in Oregon. And you can visit wineries right here in Minnesota. I think there's six or seven of them that are open to the public at all times. But if you get to go to the Rhone Valley, it has a preponderance of great restaurants, which a lot of wine areas have good restaurants in there, but great not. And I can think of three: Beaumont, La Pyramid, and Le Pic, that have 3 stars. And that's a lot of 3-star restaurants in a small area. And sometimes it's better, in my opinion, to go to the 2-star ones. They're striving to get the 3-star, the 3rd star, which is the highest ranking you can get from Michelin, is 3 stars. And they're struggling, and usually a 2 or 1 star gives you a better deal for the money, etc. But 3 stars, once they're there, are really a cathedral of wine. And if you're looking for good names, look no further than our friends Chapoutier, Jaboulet, Perrin, Gigal, Reyes, Chave. All those are big producers of these Côte du Rhône, and they have Côte du Rhône that are, as I said, at extremely favorable prices. So if you're looking for a little wine to have to take the chill off tonight, look no further than the Côte du Rhône, and one of these little wines is bound and determined to please you, that's for sure. And as a matter of fact, at Haskell's today, we're going to taste four or five Côte du Rhône at each store between 1 and 4 o'clock.
Well, that sounds fantastic, and there's a lot of stores to choose from, and Haskell's been around a long time. Jack, tell us some locations.
Yes, Haskell's has been around for 85 years, and it's no wonder we're called the wine people. When the rest of the country was drinking gin fizzes, Fritzy Haskell had people drinking wine. So we know what we're doing when we talk about wine. And all you have to do is go into a Haskell's, tell them what you're going to serve, give them a budget, and they'll pick a wine that'll please you and your pocketbook. There's a Haskell's near you where you can save big dollars on wine. Haskell's in Bloomington. There's a Haskell's in Excelsior. In Faribault, right off at 35W, our super cellar in Maple Grove is a place to visit. 22,000 square feet of wines from around the world. In Minneapolis, we have free parking on Saturday and Sunday. There's a Haskell's at Ridgedale, Plymouth, St. Paul's Island Village, Stillwater, White Bear Lake, and Woodbury, too. And if you can't come into Haskell's, go to Haskell's.com. And don't forget, at Haskell's, we do deliver.
Excellent, Jack. Let's meet up again next week.
You know, Denny, I'm going to look forward to that.
That's Jack Farrell from Haskell's.